6:02 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Ed Norris, Rob Long, Jeremy Gunn is on bereavement leave. He will be back on Monday. Ed, week 12 of the National Football League season begins tonight. Week 12.
It's hard to, we said this at the beginning of the season, though. You know, you wait, you wait, you wait.
Vroom, vroom.
Then all of a sudden, you know, you're looking at, you start to wonder how many games you have left.
Yeah.
Week 17 is not that far away. So, week 18 now, I guess.
Yeah. Someone asked me, can you believe the Chargers could actually clinch this week?
And Bills, too.
I said, yeah, that's what, the Bills, not the Chargers. Oh, yeah, sorry. Bills, yeah. The Bills could actually clinch this week. I said, yeah, if they win and Miami loses. But it's so early in the season. No, it's not.
Yeah.
You realize you have 5 games left. I mean, that's early, but when you're 5 games up and you sweep them, that means you clinch. So, I mean, after this week, you have 5 games left. That's it. Countdown to the finish.
Mm-hmm. And it makes it interesting, too, because then Buffalo's got to make some decisions about what do you do.
See, I want them to clinch early. I think that screws them up badly.
That's what I mean.
I want them to clinch so early, man. I hope they clinch this week.
Yeah.
Then have 5 weeks to try to figure out what you're going to do.
Yeah, do your set.
We play for home field advantage. Then you convince yourself how important home field advantage is or is not.
I would think up there it's a big advantage just because of the weather. Because, you know, fans are one thing. Playing in those conditions is like.
So that's when you pull for the Chiefs. Because if you pull for the Chiefs to win, that means Josh Allen has to keep playing. He puts himself in harm's way. Just saying. Is that petty?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's fine.
All right.
Stay in character.
You know, that's all I'm asking for. Yeah, pulling back the curtains a little bit, my buddy Brian Pinson in the day. He has a photography class, and he's following me all day.
I know. Pictures. I want the pictures in the late ones.
He's gonna follow me to Upper Marlboro, Maryland. We got a basketball game tonight.
Good.
If we win, I'll be happy. If we lose, I won't. It's that simple.
Yeah. We'll see how you react to either.
I'm just glad there's still pictures and not videos. That's a little different.
I bet that camera can do both.
That's a camera, isn't it? I bet that camera can take a picture on Mars from here.
Yeah.
Jeez, man.
It's like Gina's glasses.
Oh, my gosh. Why is Gina in awful early today? It was like 40-something. Like 5:40-something when she walked in.
Yeah.
They must have something to do. I know they started to play Christmas music today, which means I won't listen to them again until after Christmas.
Yeah.
It's not even Thanksgiving yet. How do you play Christmas music before Thanksgiving?
They had stuff before Halloween. I was in Macy's buying sheets or something, and they had Christmas stuff out. It was middle of October. It's like, that's just ridiculous. It takes all the whatever.
I love Christmas Day. I don't like the Christmas holiday. Does that make sense?
I'm not a fan. Yeah, me either. I like Christmas Eve because that's tradition when Italians celebrate.
Yeah, the seven
fish dinner, you exchange gifts Christmas Eve. And Christmas Day is just a day to recover.
I'm going to go to Vinny's in Dundalk for the 7 fish this year.
Oh, really? That's one of my favorite places.
Yeah. It is?
Yeah, absolutely.
I love that place, man.
Love that place. Yeah.
I'm going to go for the 7 fish.
And you can tell, last time I was there, with a couple guys from Shoddy. Henry and I went, and Glenn, and we're sitting at the counter, and there's 3 or 4 guys sitting to our left, and I hear them speaking Italian. All had Aperol spritzes in front of them, and watched them eat. And they ate just like, they were Italians from Europe, European Italians. They had about 15 courses, the proper cocktail with each one, that Aperol spritzes to start dinner, to get the appetite going, and they had some wine, and that's a great place.
I love that they give you a spoon and a fork with your pasta meals.
Yeah,
I love that, man.
I know you do.
You put the pasta in the spoon, and you roll it up with the fork.
It's an American thing.
Oh, my God. I love it.
And I know. A lot of people do that. Yeah, my family would murder me.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah. That's not an Italian thing?
No. That's an Italian-American thing. Or an American thing more than that, yeah.
Well, why it started here? I know you went down some rabbit hole.
I don't. I just know. I'm assuming it's because people couldn't properly eat pasta, so that's a good way to assist them.
Listeners of the Big Bad Morning Show. By the end of the show, we'll know why we started a spoon.
End of the show. By 6:15, you know.
We'll know. Trust me, we'll know. I don't know. Maybe people didn't want to get sauce, red sauce all over them. So they twirled it up.
Very possible.
You know, the gangsters wore the white shirts, man, and the suits. So they probably used the spoons then. Not to get all the red
stuff. They had other things to worry about getting on their suits.
All the red stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Pittsburgh Steelers take on the Cleveland Browns tonight in Cleveland on Prime Video, 8:15 Thursday Night Football as Week 12 begins. Pittsburgh, are you surprised Pittsburgh is only giving 3.5 points in this one?
Not really. I think, you know, the Ravens are still favored against the Chargers. So I think people, despite the fact we lost, they still look at it like, who is this team really? Pittsburgh won. I still don't think their offense is very good. The defense is good. And Cleveland's playing at home on a Thursday night against a terrible, you know, rival they hated for decades. And that short week always favors a home team. So I think they kind of lessened it a little bit.
You know what screams, don't watch this game? The total of 36.5.
Yeah.
That screams, don't want a total of 37 points. That screams, that's, you're telling me 20-17 would be the over. Think about this. If the final score is 20-17, that would be the over. That's crazy.
I know.
Nothing.
That would be the over, yeah.
Nothing screams, don't watch this game, like a total of 36.5 points. You know, look at, for instance, the Lions and the Colts, 49.5. The Patriots and Dolphins have a 46.5 over line. The Buccaneers and the lowly Giants are 41.5. But this game, not, oh my God. Oh, well, the Ravens Chargers, 50.5. Plus they have rain tonight.
I have your answer.
What? I knew it. Why did they put a spoon in Italian pasta, Bills?
Well, the reason for is the obvious, you know. Without the spoon, people are looking incompetent. They keep twisting the fork and watching the pasta fall off. The spoon prevents this from happening. However, what's the spaghetti rule in Italy? Spaghetti should be eaten with a fork, not a spoon. The correct technique is to twirl the pasta around the fork using the size of your plate.
That's what I do.
You just said use a spoon.
No, at Vinny's I use the spoon, yeah. But when I don't have the spoon, yeah.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to, that's how it's, you know, that's, yeah, how the Italians are supposed to do
it. When I go to Masoni's, there's no spoon involved, yeah. So you got to, yeah.
Yeah, that's, see, now you know.
And but I didn't do it because of that. You know why I do it like that at Masoni's?
We saw it on TV and the Yankees were doing it.
That's one of the reasons. But they also put the seasoning around the plate at Masoni's.
Oh.
So you get a little extra season if you twirl it around the side of the plate.
Well, there you go.
Gotta love extra spice. Well, I did see the gangsters do that, too. Hey, man, you know, my heroes wore suits when I grew up. Ric Flair, Frank Sinatra.
You know,
they wore suits. 410-583-1057. That's the number. We got Commissioners Baltimore at 7 o'clock, but on the other side, Roquan is one of four Ravens that did not practice on Wednesday. How much trouble are the Ravens in if he can't get going for Monday night? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Baltimore Ravens getting ready for Monday Night Football against the Los Angeles Chargers. It's the Harbaugh Bowl again. This is part three, right?
Yeah, John's 2-0 against them. Yep.
Ravens' defense is not very good. I think they look good against a bad Pittsburgh Steelers offense. But I don't think they're very good. I don't. And I think even worse without Roquan Smith, who did not practice yesterday.
Yeah.
How much trouble are they in if he doesn't play?
A lot. I mean, a lot. Because the Chargers will run the ball then. Because they got a good running game. It's without running backs, but they're still doing pretty well.
And I'm already worried about J.K. Dobbins coming out party against us.
That's what I'm saying. They're good running. If you don't have Roquan, it changes everything in the middle. It changes everything, period. And, you know, I hope Kyle's feeling well. Hope Roquan plays. Because, you know, just because he's out Wednesday, we'll see.
Yeah, it's still 5 days to kick off, but still, I mean, it's any day out makes me a little concerned.
Yeah. But this time of year, everybody's banged up. So I'm like, I'll wait and see.
Football's a tough sport, man.
It's a very tough sport.
17 weeks, 18 weeks, but 17 games.
It's unlike any other.
Banging up against other people all the time.
You know what a big hockey fan I am.
Yeah.
You still, and that's a rough game. Tough guys, rough game. I mean, you look at some of these guys, you're just like, yeah. But you don't see these constant crippling injuries.
Yeah.
And and they're playing on ice. And you just don't see it. And maybe that helps because I don't know. But it's just, you don't see what you see in football. You'll get your you know, the terrible injury you'll see. You'll see somebody get cut with skates and look at the awful injuries like that. But you don't see this. So,
you know, you talk about guys in the injury report and how many guys are out. Kyle Hamilton is huge. I don't know if it's me, but I don't think Kyle Hamilton looked like Kyle Hamilton last Sunday against the Steelers. He had spurts.
He looked pretty good, though.
But he wasn't a constant presence.
But that, to me, that wasn't his fault, though. They dropped him back as a free safety.
Okay.
He wasn't up on the line because he was back 10, 12 yards, and that's not where he plays. But I think they were trying to use his athleticism just to try to bolster up that crappy secondary. I hate to say it, but they are. They're not playing well.
He did
so
practice
They used him to bolster, I think, a weak secondary.
As the season goes on, are you worried more and more about Lamar's health?
Not really.
I think something's going on with Lamar that we don't know about.
It could be.
Or we know about it, we just don't know the extent of it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, he had the back issue they kept him out for, and he hasn't been running as much.
That's the one that gets me.
Yeah, because I was surprised at Pittsburgh. There was a lot of green in front of him. Ordinarily, he would just be, boom. You don't have to go for 30. If you still, you know, you get 7 yards, 12 yards, that's a big deal. And he didn't even do that.
Yeah.
It surprised me a little bit.
It surprised me a lot because he's normally that guy when the offense is sputtering, he takes matters into his own hands.
Yeah.
In fact, I was at Jake's doing a guest bartending for the breast cancer event, and there were people screaming, come on, Lamar, take over the game, because that's what we used to hear in Baltimore. When things don't go right, number 8 takes over. And it just felt like two games he didn't do that, noticeably to me. AFC Championship game. Last Sunday, noticeably, with opportunities in front of him to take over, did not do it.
Yeah, and Tucker's an issue, and
oh my god,
that's still a big deal because I think the two most important players on the team is Lamar Vilest since he's here and Tucker. Because see how many games he's won for this team, you know, and the, you know, you put him in, you know, get a 63-yard field goal with the game on the line, you're like, man, that's fine.
I can
do that.
I want to give my blessing in disguise on Tucker.
Hmm.
For years, I hate the way Harbaugh settles for field goals because it was so automatic. He can't settle for field goals anymore.
No.
They're no longer automatic. You have to be more aggressive offensively now.
Yeah.
That's the blessing in disguise. Now, you know, late in the game when you have to have a field goal because you win the game, yeah, that's the thing. But I like overall that now you have to be, you can't, like, well, we got Tucker. Well, let's just be conservative here because we've got Tucker. No, now you got to be aggressive and try to keep the chains moving to put the ball to the end zone or to get closer for Tucker.
Or he's going to do what you do in golf when you suck, like me. You know, when you're going left constantly, you start aiming right.
Yeah.
Like the flag's in front of you. So now I'm going to go that way because I know the ball's going to curve this way. So I try to keep it in the fairway by going the wrong way. So I wonder if it goes through his head.
Mike Healy.
But
Mike Healy.
Yeah.
Go train with him. He'll stop doing that.
Well, I'm happy you cleared that up because I didn't know what the hell Mike Healy was. I thought he was a kicker.
That was my biggest issue. That was my biggest issue, slicing him left.
Yeah.
No longer a big issue now. He told me, he filmed me. He said, you have a beautiful baseball swing, man. I bet you're a heck of a hitter. He said, but you don't lead with your hands in golf. I was leading with my hands.
Yeah.
And that's why everything was slicing left.
Yeah, they can't get in front of you. Yeah.
He said, imagine a bad baseball swing. That's a good golf swing. Hips out in front, body out in front.
Hands trailing.
Drag it. Yep. I'm like, oh my, what? No. He said, yeah, bad baseball swing.
Yeah.
It's a good golf swing. I'm sorry. As Bob Haney would say, I digress. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Are you concerned with injury reports from a Wednesday yesterday for a game that's on Monday? And I got to be honest with you, nah, not really. Some folks were. I was being asked about it yesterday, Joe, as well. But what do you think? Take on Roquan Smith not being there. No take right now. None whatsoever. 5 days before the game, no take. It's the equivalent of you know, them not being there on a Monday. Or Tuesday, and no big deal for me. I would like to see the veterans slow walk into this game, especially the fact that they had to travel out to the left coast. Slow walk into it.
Yeah, he said this is, you know, this week 12. They haven't had their bye yet, which is actually good because they'll get a week off in December that they're really going to need. So that's coming up. I'm happy about that. And, you know, guys need to, you got to get your body right, man. You really, especially a team like them that's, you know, got their eyes on the postseason. You can't just slide into, you know, the 17th game of the year and just say, okay, we're gone. There should be three more after that.
So December the 1st at home is a 4 o'clock game?
Yeah.
It's the 4:25 game,
yeah,
against the Eagles.
Eagle game, right? Yeah.
On CBS. Yeah. That's the national game.
Yeah.
And then the bye.
Mm-hmm.
Then you got a 4:30 game, back-to-back weeks. It's a Saturday and a Wednesday, though.
It's starting Saturday games, yeah.
Saturday game and then Wednesday. Ooh.
Oh, Christmas.
Ooh. Yeah. That's sinful.
What?
That should have been the bye week.
Yeah, the short.
You go the 21st and then the 25th?
Yeah, that's crazy. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's that is unheard of, man. I knew it, but didn't catch me till now. Now that you see these teams and they talk about injury reports, NFL ought to be ashamed of themselves, man. Well, we give them an extra day.
We're concerned about safety, though.
We give them extra day. We play them on Saturday. It's like Tuesday, Sunday to Thursday. Oh, you shut up, man.
And sadly, they're not easy to play the Steelers on that Saturday and the Texans on that on Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I let you know I have an apple juice here, and I grabbed my peanut butter. I was about to open it up to drink it. I thought it was my apple juice.
Yeah. You drinking apple juice?
I got apple juice here. I got what is it,
so you feel good by recess?
I got both. No, it's just like I'm trying to pump with some vitamin C, man. Can't you hear me stuffy? My voice isn't as classic as it normally is. I don't like to hear myself talk as much today as I do.
That's not true. And I also find it's funny. You usually drink orange juice. What possessed you to do this?
I got both. I got both.
Yeah. You got a couple of Capri Suns in your bag?
Yeah. Kool-Aid, actually. Grape. Grape Kool-Aid and some fruit roll-ups. Along with my peanut butter and crackers. You see the kid theme here? 410-583-1057 is the number. Commissioners Baltimore at 7 o'clock. But on the other side, NFL's 25 semifinalists for the 2025 Hall of Fame class. Let's see who got snubbed in your book. Want to hear from you. 410-583-1057 is the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. 6:30 in the a.m. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Commissioners Baltimore at 7 o'clock. But right now, you're looking at the 25 semifinalists for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Ed North, first of all, Terrell Suggs, Marshall Yonder on the list. I think deservedly so.
100%. I mean, Suggs, you know, certainly one of the best pass rushers we ever had.
It was generation.
Yeah. You had those battles with the Steelers and Roethlisberger for years and years and years. Honestly, we haven't had one since of that caliber. So,
you think Haloti Ngata was screwed?
I don't know if screwed's the right term. I think he deserves to be in. I mean, this guy's a, you know, multi-time Pro Bowler, and just you think about, not that Ray Lewis wasn't a generational talent, probably the best ever play inside, but you can't do it unless you have somebody protecting you like that. He lobbied for that.
And they drafted him.
That's how they drafted Haloti.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he had a lot to do with their successes.
All right, let's play a game. Let's go down the list. Just give me a yeah or nay, whether they are Hall of Famers, okay? Not first ballot guys, just Hall of Famers. Cool with that?
Yeah.
Eric Allen.
Mm.
That means no. Jared Allen.
Yes.
Willie Anderson.
Not sure, because I just don't know enough, you know, to him play that much.
Anquan Boldin.
Anquan. Damn.
Not whether you like him.
Yeah.
Cat Williams.
Cat Williams. So unfair.
Whether he's a Hall of Famer.
I'm going to say yes.
All right.
I think if he didn't play with Larry Fitzgerald, he would have had even a better career. Because Larry Fitzgerald was so, you know. That was an incredible tandem they had.
Yeah. Jari Evans.
No.
Antonio Gates.
Antonio Gates. Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
James Harrison.
Yes, 100%.
Rodney Harrison.
Gotta hate Rodney Harrison.
That means yes.
Ever since you remember the time he like manhandled Tony Dungy on TV?
Yeah.
I'll never forgive him for that. So no, he doesn't deserve to be in.
Torrey Holt.
Yeah.
Luke Kuechly.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Yeah, he was probably one of the best players for that franchise.
Eli Manning.
Yes. Okay. Not first ballot, but yes.
Robert Mathis.
Robert Mathis. Yes, borderline.
Steve Smith Sr.
Yes.
Terrell Suggs.
100%.
Fred Taylor.
Fred Taylor. Yes.
You're going to love this one. Yeah. Earl Thomas.
Oh, damn, that's a tough one. He was probably the best of his generation for a while. Yeah, I'd say,
I'd say
so.
Yes. Yeah. Adam Vinatieri.
Yeah, for sure.
Hines Ward.
Yeah.
Ricky Waters.
Yeah.
Reggie Wayne.
Yeah, for sure.
Richmond Webb.
No.
Vince Wolford.
Yeah.
Steve Wisniewski.
This is a good bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Steve Wisniewski probably, but not right away.
Darren Woodson.
Yeah.
Marshall Yanda.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. I think Yanda was one of the best guards of his generation.
I'm going to go back over your list. Anquan Boldin, I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. Mm-hmm. Jari Evans, I think he should be. Rodney Harrison, James Harrison, yes. Troy Holt, yes. Luke Kuechly, no. Eli Manning.
You don't think Kuechly deserves it?
I don't think so.
Damn.
Louis did it long enough. Eli Manning should be first ballot. Robert Mathis, yes. Steve Smith Sr., no. He's very good. Terrell Suggs, yes. Fred Taylor, no. Earl Thomas, yes. Vinatieri, yes. Hines Ward, no.
No?
No.
All right.
No. Ricky Waters, no. Reggie Wayne, yes. Richmond Webb, yes. Vince Wolfolk. I'm on the fence about that. Wisniewski, yes. See,
Woodford
Woodson
was dominant, though.
Yeah. Darren Woodford. Woodson. Very good. And Marshall Yanda, yes.
Yeah. To me, one of my favorites in there, besides the Ravens, I think James Harrison may be my favorite player in that bunch. As much as I know he's a Steeler, but that guy was different. He was just different.
Harrison?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just my kind of player.
I don't think Steve Smith Sr. and Anquan Boldin in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and the more I think, I guess you're right. You know what I look at when I look at these guys? The same with Kuechly. Sometimes I look at where they fit in their franchise history. And that's why I'm like, because Kuechly's one of the best players to ever play for Carolina. And so is Steve Smith.
You're right. You're 100% right about that. I would not deny that. I just don't know. And I could be wrong. That's a guy that I would say on the fence about. But I don't see Hall of Famer when I think of him. I don't. I can look at his numbers, and but I just don't see Hall of Fame when I think about it. 2012 to 2019. He was, see what he has, 5-time All Pro. So I'm probably wrong. Hall of Fame All 210s class.
Who's 5-time All Pro?
Luke Kuechly.
Yeah,
yeah. So,
I think Kuechly was one of the best of his era.
If he's 5-time All Pro and on the 210s All 210s class, he's a Hall of Famer.
Kuechly, I really think
he was an All Pro 1, 2, 3, 4 years in a row.
Wow.
Yeah, defensive rookie. No, 3 years in a row. Defensive rookie of the year, then 3 All-Pros, and then 2 towards the end of his career. Career cut short because of – wasn't he a concussions guy?
He definitely has career cut short. I remember the injury, but he had to make a business decision.
I want to say he was a concussions guy for some reason.
See, but I – and I – because I look at guys like Terrell Davis, who – you know, he's 7,000 something yards in his career, short career. He's in the Hall of Fame.
I don't think he should be.
Yeah, and I've always questioned that too. I mean, a big fan of his. He was in, I think we were together. It was a while ago. He was in this studio. That man looks like he could play today.
Oh, yeah.
He was in fantastic shape. But I still think his career is kind of short.
We weren't, but I passed by him in the hall.
Oh, did? Yeah. There you go. 7,600 yards in his career.
Ooh, Terrell Davis?
Yeah.
I guess you would have to go by the career numbers.
3-time All-Pro.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2-time, he has 2 rings.
I got to be honest, though. I think if that guy's not in the NFL Network at the time he went to the Hall of Fame, he's probably not in the Hall of Fame.
I think that had a lot to do with it, honestly. I think that really is, there is a bias there.
Yeah. He had the right people on him at the right time, and he ended up in the Hall of Fame because of it. I'm not saying he wasn't an outstanding. So you could be, people ask you, you don't think he was great? See, you could be great and not be a Hall of Famer. To me, Hall of Famers are epic. They're not just great. They're epic. They're the best of their generations. I think the Hall of Fame now is kind of overcrowded. You got guys in there who just weren't amongst the best of their era. It was just, You know, don't give me the Pro Bowl. I don't care about the Pro Bowl. Vince Evans made the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
Because others didn't want it. I don't want to hear about the Pro Bowl.
Tyler Huntley make the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, miss me with the Pro Bowl. Yeah. Conversation.
Even, Davis probably, I'm just looking at Calvin Johnson. Because his career was a little shorter. He's a Hall of Famer. Similar, you know, similar accolades. No Super Bowl, obviously, was the Lions. But, you know, three-time first-team All-Pro. Dominant guy. But not a lot of, you know, not huge stats because he didn't play all that long.
410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. Is Jim Harbaugh saving Justin Herbert's career? He's had a lot of great things to say about Justin Herbert. We'll talk about that at 7:45. But on the other side, we're talking some baseball. NL, AL, Cy Young winners, and this evening's MVP awards. We'll talk it all up next on The Fan. 6:46 in the AM, Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Now, Ed, when you heard Tarik Skubal won the AL Cy Young Award, unanimous decision, you were not surprised at all.
No, I wasn't surprised it was unanimous either. He was the guy. I mean, that was kind of a – you knew he was going to get it. He had a great season. Not a big surprise.
I was equally not surprised when I heard Chris Sale won it, his fifth Cy Young Award. Well, the Braves' fifth Cy Young Award, I should say. No, the Braves' eighth, I'm sorry, Cy Young Award. Chris Sale has had a great year, incredible year this year. He could probably win Comeback Player of the Year as well.
Yeah, well, that was the other thing. I mean, I'm not surprised he won, but at the beginning of the season, I wouldn't have predicted he'd win the Cy Young. It was kind of cool.
Now, Joe, you said they were both Triple Crown winners in terms of ERA wins and innings?
Yeah, and the other times, it's the second time that they've had Triple Crown winners in both leagues in 1 year. In the 25 other times, though, that someone has won the Triple Crown, they've received the Cy Young every time.
So you say the second time only that both
only
leagues?
It's only the second time that they've had pitchers in both leagues win Triple Crown. The other time was Justin Verlander and someone else in 2011.
I'm sorry, it's not innings pitch. It's wins, ERA, and strikeouts. Wins, ERA, and strikeouts. Chris Sale did have 20 starts last year, though, so not necessarily Comeback Player of the Year. 29 starts this year. 29 starts and 21 decisions. Is unreal.
Yeah. 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 And, then, you know, it's funny. Preparing for the segment, I'm just going through stuff last night and this morning, and one of the questions was, did Chris Sale pitch himself into the Hall of Fame?
Now it's Who asked that question?
ESPN. David Schoenfeld.
Did he pitch his way into the Hall of Fame? That's a good question.
Yeah.
He has 138 wins. 624 win percentage, career ERA at 3.04. He has 2,400 strikeouts and only 1,900 innings pitched. So he's done that. Yeah. I don't know. 35 years old.
Yeah.
How many Cy Young awards does he have? It's more than one, right? This is first.
He didn't win with the White Sox?
I thought he did.
I thought he did.
Doesn't look like he did. Doesn't look like he did. No Cy Young. This is his first. Mm. I thought he won one before, too. He's Gold Glove winner, 8-time All-Star, this year Triple Crown winner, won the World Series. Maybe that's why they asked with the Cy Young Award that he pitched in.
Yeah. He was runner-up in 2018.
Yeah.
2017, sorry. But he's been top five 6 times.
Mm. Tarik Skubal, I think he's 27 years old. Great year for him. 18 wins. 2.39 ERA, 228 strikeouts, only 192 innings pitched. What a phenomenal year for him. He's a Cy Young. He won Triple Crown this year, won his All-Star this year. Great year for him.
Yeah, and it's tough to win. That's why it's hard to look at that award and say, well, I mean, only one guy can win it in the league. So it's like in your league. And you look, we talked about Nolan Ryan before. Nolan Ryan never won a Cy Young. His number's been retired by 3 teams. 11-time strikeout leader, 8-time All-Star, all that stuff. 2-time ERA leader, no Cy Young, but he's obviously Hall of Fame.
Won an ERA title twice as well. I don't know if you said that.
I did. I did. But yeah, so But I think Sale's right. You know, he's there. He's one of those guys. He's thinking, maybe.
Wow, how miserable could that have been?
What?
He retired after the 93 season. He won the World Series, but in 1969, he pitched a long time after that.
Oh, with the Mets,
winning
another
one.
That's right. He was on the Mets team.
He won in 1969 in his third year, and that was it.
Yeah.
Never sniffed it again.
Yeah. And who would think that'd be the team it would be?
69 Mets.
I mean, that was just
We don't hear the Kevin to keep talking about.
I think it deserves a little conversation.
I don't know. Keep talking about that. Nolan Ryan once pitched 332 innings.
Yeah, well, they were different men then.
And think about this. I want you to think about this for a second. You know, in today's era, they talk about more strikeouts than innings pitched for guys who pitch 200 innings.
Mm-hmm.
He pitched 332 and two-thirds innings and still had more strikeouts than innings pitched. He had 367 strikeouts.
Yeah. Yes.
But he also led the league in walks with 202.
Yeah, there's that. He's pitched 7 no-hitters.
I didn't know Nolan Ryan never won a Cy Young Award, though. Did he ever win 20 games? Nolan Ryan never won 20. He did twice.
Yeah.
All right. I was going to say, he never won 20 games. He won 21 and 73, 22 and 74. And that was it.
Yeah.
Man.
Worst trade in the history of that franchise.
Who did they trade?
Nolan Ryan for Jim Fregosi.
Jim Fregosi wasn't worth the trade?
No.
Man, you don't know about Jim Fregosi.
He was 112 years old when they got him.
You don't know about Jim Fregosi?
I know about Nolan Ryan.
I can't even find Jim Fregosi in the baseball reference. I can't even find him in baseball reference.
Obviously, I'm still bitter.
I see that. I see that. I mean, I wonder if Cincinnati Reds fans are still bitter. He traded the old Frank Robinson, who went over to the American League and won a Triple Crown. He was too old. And then he ended up beating the Reds in the World Series.
It's another franchise. Tom Seaver ended up being a Red.
Everybody was a Red back then. They just collected people. 410-583-1057. That's the number. Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. A little bit earlier, speaking of Hall of Fame, we were talking about Hall of Fame, Pro Football Hall of Fame. Rashawn in Baltimore wanted to weigh in. What's up, Rashawn?
Hey, what's up, man? Good morning, fellas.
Good morning.
Quick question, before I get back to the Hall of Fame thing, since y'all was talking about pitchers, right? Now, since the Orioles say they're going to spend some money, is it feasible that we can get maybe that Max Fry guy for 6 years, 160, and also get the Blake Snow for 4 years, 120, if they all about spending money, right, and get two stud pitchers?
Max Fried?
Who are you talking about,
Max
man?
Fried.
Yeah, Max Fried.
Guy from Atlanta.
His name Max is Fried.
Fried.
Oh, Fried. Whatever, man.
Max Fried. Know what I meant, though. No, the first I did, I really did not know what you meant. I had no clue. Yeah, they can still get him.
Did you say Snow? Was it Blake Snow?
Blake Snow. Who the hell is Blake Snow? What am I missing?
The pitcher. The pitcher for the left-handed.
Blake Snell.
Snell. All right, man. See now, y'all.
All right. Rashawn,
it's us.
Rashawn, I swear to you, I had no idea. You said two people. I thought I was slipping in my knowledge of baseball because I had no clue who the hell you were talking about on either one of those guys.
I'm
sitting there thinking, you think we're making fun of you. You say Blake Snow and Max Fried to Jeremy Kahn. You'll be a meme.
I was thinking about JT Snow, too. That's why I got it confused, you know, because they both played for the Giants and everything. Yeah. So I got it a little confused.
Well, Jack Snow was a receiver for the Rams way back when.
All right, listen, we passed that, man. But as far as the Hall of Fame, now, y'all said Steve Smith and Anquan Boldin.
Y'all did not say it. I said it. Yeah. Ed said they both are.
I definitely agree with Ed. They are. They ranked what, eighth and number 14 on all-time, you know, receiving yards.
That's unfair. You're ranking them with guys who played in the throwing era. Where do they rank amongst their generations? You know, it's you can't do that. They came up in a passing era where it was common for a receiver to have 100 receptions.
I think Rashawn's right.
I mean, it was common for that. So when you compare them to receivers who played in the era where you threw the ball a lot, Michael Irvin played on a team that was a running team, and he put up phenomenal numbers. That guy's a Hall of Famer. When you play, you know, that's like saying, you know, a quarterback should go because of his total passing yards who played in the last 20 years. Everybody has 4,000 yards passing now. Everybody does. So you, when you start talking all time, okay, where does he rank amongst his peers? I don't think either one of them are Hall of Famers. I think if you would make an argument for one of them, I'd make an argument for Steve Smith before Anquan Boldin.
I would too. I mean, I think Smith is more deserving.
Shovels at 8 o'clock, but on the other side, we got Commissioner's Baltimore.
Yeah. We're going to talk a little bit about that debacle on Netflix. The most streamed event ever. Most streamed sporting event ever.
It was Fugazi.
Was the fix in?
I think so, man. Oh. I think so.
It's pretty clear.
Commissioner's Baltimore up next on The Fan.